God bless you this morning. It's so good to be here again. What a wonderful atmosphere we have. And the Lord Jesus is here to meet all our needs. I believe that. He said, Brother Bram said, you get what you're expecting. So if you come expecting to hear from God, you're going to hear from God. Then the question is on you. What will you do with it? What will you do this morning with the Word of God? Lord Jesus, we're so grateful we could be here. Just a freedom to come and to worship you, Lord Jesus. It's just it's beyond words, Lord. Just a groaning inside of us that we can't express, Lord, to pour ourselves out to you, to receive what you have for us, and Lord, to become closer to you, be one with you, Lord. We believe we're walking in this word of the light of the hour. Help us to continue to press on, Lord Jesus. Meet every need, Lord Jesus, this morning. Meet our needs, and Lord, especially the spiritual needs. Lord, meet those needs. I ask this in your name. Amen. If you would turn your Bible to Revelation, the third chapter, we'll pick up where we left off Thursday night. And the subject we're talking about for the next couple of services, at least today, I don't know after this, but call it the uncomfortable Christ. Revelation 3, verse 14. Remember, this is a message to this church age that we're living in. He said unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Isn't that amazing? He's faithful and true witness. That means you can believe what he tells you. He is not lying to us. Boy, that's good. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. You're just riding the fence, Laodiceans. You can't sell out completely, but you can't go back to the world completely. And so you're right in that middle gray area of pure misery. He said, I wish you were cold or hot. But again, because you are lukewarm and not cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You make me sick. Your religion makes me vomit. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. I'm a message believer. I know the message of the hour. I know the prophet. I know the quotes. I go to message church. I have need of nothing. Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked spiritually. What a miserable place to be. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That means you go through you get the character molded by trials and tests. That thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You may be seated. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, because otherwise you're going to think you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and don't know that you're blind. See, Satan, what he's trying to do is just bring us up from Thursday. He, down through the years, he has persecuted the church and just killed them off. He found out that persecution makes the church stronger. Persecution makes you a stronger Christian. So he got to this last age and he said, I know what I'll do at this age. I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to make it so easy. I'm going to make it so comfortable. I'm going to make it so popular to be a Christian that everyone wants to be a Christian. And you can sit in your pew and just be as comfortable as can be. And everything's just going to be fine and hunky-dory. And you're a believer. And I don't care what name you call yourself. You want to call yourself Catholic, Mennonite, Baptist, Message Believer, or anything else. I don't care. You call yourself what you want. That's good with me. I like when you call yourself something. And then what's going to happen is you're going to get a preacher. He's going to get up. He's going to just preach things that you really like to hear. Because if you like to hear what's being preached, you'll keep coming to church. And then you can sit there and be nice and comfortable, and you're a message believer, and we're all going in the rapture someday. That is Satan's doctrine. God says, I am going to love you so much that I'm going to chasten you. I'm going to make you uncomfortable. I'm going to stir the pot. I'm going to get you out of that lukewarm muck that you call your religion, and I'm going to get you pressing on. I'm going to put you through trials that are going to tear you up. I'm going to put you through stuff that you're going to say, why is this happening? Because I don't want you comfortable. I don't want you sitting in your message pews just thinking, well, I'm just fine. Let's just have a good service. We'll go to lunch afterwards, and we're going to have fellowship, and we're all just all going in the rapture someday. Woo-hoo-hoo! Oh, no, we're not. Oh, no, we're not. You know what amazes me? It still amazes me. God tells you. He says, I am going to chasten you. And yet, when he does, the attitude of believers who say, I'm a believer. Yes, I believe he chastens me. And he comes and speaks directly to you, and you get mad. The chastening is the only comfort you're getting. No wonder you're miserable. He comes and he chastens you because he loves you, and we reject it. We reject it and say, well, I don't like that kind of preaching. I don't like the way. I don't want it this way. I want my own religion. And he chastens us. And it hurts our feelings, and it tears us up, and we rebel against it like a 12-year-old kid. Dad spanks him, and he gets mad and says, you ain't going to spank me again. Rebellious spirits. He loves you enough to call you out. He loves me enough. I've sat there many times, and I knew he was preaching directly towards me, and my old flesh was like, ah! Don't like this! And there's something inside say, yeah, but is it true? Yes, it's true. Then shut up and listen. Accept what he's saying, because this will put you in the rapture. This will save your soul. This will give you overcoming power. This will get you going down the road. This puts you in the battle. But if you keep resisting it, you show that you're a bastard-born child. Because the Bible says that the bastard-born children don't accept the chastening. They sit out of church. They get mad. They go sit somewhere else. So they go and murmur against it. They go talk about it. They do resist it. They do everything else except receive it for the comfort that it is. God loves me so much that he takes time to come down and minister directly. Directly to me. The very creator who stood up there and said, let there be light. He said, now I'm going to deal with you. That's what I mean to him. That's what you mean to him. He's going to come directly to you and say, I want to talk to you now. I got 8 billion people on earth this morning, but I'm talking directly to you. Well, I don't like the way you preach. What's he supposed to do now? What is he supposed to do now? This is the way he said he does it. I chasten the ones I love. And Brother Branham said the zeal for this age is to say, I am wrong. Be zealous and repent. I am wrong. Well, I did that 20 years ago, Brother Phil. Well, you're 20 years late then, aren't you? You need to be doing that every day, brother and sister. We make mistakes every day. And you know what? Even the more you go, God still comes and says, listen, your attitude about this is wrong. Your thought on this is wrong. Your attitude, the way you treated that person is wrong. You're still being selfish. You're still being, and you say, but I've been a message believer born again for 50 years or 70 years or however long. And yet every day you still fight that old flesh. And he, every day he still chastens you. And every day you say, thank you. Thank you. We're still caring. What would you do if you came to church and God never chastened you? How would you even know who you are? How would you have any confidence that you're even born again if God never chastened you? How would you know? Oh, that chastening is our comfort. Thursday night I said something. I said, I don't believe that people read the Bible. And if you do read it, they read it with their own filter in place. Well, he said this, but that was to them. He said that, but that was to them. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to turn to John, and we're going to read a bunch of the Bible. And we're actually going to start in John 5. And I'm going to skip a lot. We're going to go down through, but I don't know how long we're going to do this. But what we want to do is we want to see the ministry of Jesus Christ. What he said, what he did. And then we also want to see the effect it had on the people. Because if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he still says the same kind of things, he still does the same kind of things, and people still react the same way. Because I'm convinced that people do not know or love Jesus Christ. Because they don't recognize his ministry today. And if they do recognize it, they don't like it because they still don't love him enough to accept it. So we're going to start on John 5, 15. And Jesus had just healed a man on the Sabbath. Now I'm going to skip down through. I'm going to go verse. And so if you don't want to follow, that's fine. But I do want you to listen at least. Because I'm going to be skipping through. And I'm just going to go to different places and show what some of the things he said and some of the ways that people reacted. So Jesus had just healed a man on the Sabbath. And back in Luke, it talks about how the people are sitting there watching. Are you going to heal this man on the Sabbath? Because they wanted to accuse him. You're working on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to them, is it better to heal? Moses gave you circumcision on the Sabbath. Do you circumcise on the Sabbath? Do you want to heal or kill on the Sabbath? And in their face, he turned and healed that man and said, now what? That was his attitude. He did it right in their face, knowing they're going to get mad. And then it says, then the man departed and told the Jews that Jesus made him whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. He said, my Father worketh here too, and I do too. Get over it. That's the attitude Jesus had. Well, he was a smart aleck. Yes, he was. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but had said God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Well, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are preaching to us holy people that way? Verse 37. The Father himself, this is Jesus speaking, and the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, ye believe not. This is Jesus preaching. If he got up and most message preachers and preached something like that, they'd be scandalized. How can you preach to us like this? We believe in a positive gospel. Say nice things about people. You believe in psychology. You say, well, I believe it. Not if you don't do it, you don't. These people claim to be believers. He said, you don't believe. You believe him not. Why? Because they don't accept the one he sent. They don't accept the God in flesh in front of them. And because of that, they're not a believer. They believe what the prophet said. They believe what Moses said. But they don't believe the word when it's made manifest. He said, you are not a believer. Search the scripture. For them you think you have eternal life. You think you have eternal life. You think you're a messy believer because you believe the prophet. He said, there was testify of me. That message of the hour proves what I'm saying. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. You will not accept the word of the day. You will not accept the voice of God speaking today so you can have life. He said, I receive no honor from men. What does that mean? He said, I don't care about your opinion. If you like me or don't like me, I'm still going to tell you the truth. If this terrorizes, this scandalizes, you walk out of here without saying whatever you want, I'm still going to stand here and tell you the truth because I don't receive honor from men. You can say, I like what you preach, Brother Phil. I don't like what you preach, Brother Phil. I wish you'd go away, Brother Phil. I love you, Brother Phil. I don't care. I'm still going to say what he tells me to say. Now, out in my flesh, yeah, I care. I like to be liked just like the rest of us, but I am not going to compromise on the word when he gives me something to say because I am more interested that he likes what I said. But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. How would you like to have to get up and talk to a message believer and say, I know you, bunch of message believers, you don't have the love of God in you. You know why I know? Because he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. His commandments are not grievous. You know what his commandment is? Believe on him whom he has sent. Receive what he's saying. He said, I am come in my Father's name, you receive me not. If another should come in his own name, you'll receive him. You receive a minister who get up and preach something to keep you comfortable. Get up and preach something that says, we're all born again, we're all believers. You believe this doctrine? Well, we're born again. All right, let's go. Let's go have dinner. He said, how can you believe which receive honor one of another, seeing not the honor that cometh from God only? Well, my mama says this, and my daddy says this, and my brother says this, and brother Paul says this, and brother Gene says it this way, and brother whatever, and everyone's opinion, and we still, well, I don't know, what do you think about what he preached? Well, I don't know, what do you think about what he preached? Murmuring, complaining. Verse 45, do not think I accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuses you, even brother Branham, in whom you trust. Yeah, his message is going to stand there and bring accusation and judge you at judgment day because you claim to believe it, but you wouldn't do it. For had you believed brother Branham, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. You believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? You say, you're brother Phil. They said, well, you're just Jesus. We know you. See, you look back in time, look back in history, say, oh, wow, look who he was. Right there in the moment, you know what he was? He wasn't any more to them than I am to you. It's true. He was just a bastard born, someone who had a little power to do some works. So actually, since I was not bastard born, I actually have a higher standing than he would if he was here preaching. No, that was Jesus. At that time, they just look at him as another minister. Do you hear the voice of God speaking? Does he still speak the same? Let's go to John 6, verse 13. He had just fed a multitude. He said, therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above that they had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. They became believers because of what they had saw. They said, this is that prophet. This is the Messiah. They were believers. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force. What were they going to do? You are going to be the Messiah. You are going to be our king. They were going to force him to it. To make him a king, he departed again into a mountain unto himself. They said, we're believers. We want you. We accept you. He said, no, you got the wrong idea. You're still thinking carnally. And he left them. Think how popular he could have been right there. All he had to do was accept that right there, and he could have been king of the earth. King of the world, right then. He would have drove the Romans out and the Greeks and everything else, and he would have been, it would have been his kingdom set up on earth. He could have had it right there. He had the power to do it. He had the people backing him. All he had to do was be the kind of Messiah that they wanted him to be. All he had to do was be the kind of a preacher they wanted. And he could have had a huge kingdom. I said it many times, and maybe Brother Jerry would change after a while. If he would just preach different, we could have a big church. But no, he has to tell the truth. Verse 24. He went across, just to tell the story, disciples went on the ship. He walked across water. They didn't see him go. And so, verse 24, when the people therefore saw Jesus not there, neither the disciples, they took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. They were seeking him. They were looking for him. They were believers. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said, Rabbi, whence camest thou hither? They wanted to be with him. Where are you going? Why do you leave us? Jesus answered and said unto them, well, guys, I'm so glad to see you. Let's just have a big church service right here and let's just worship God, shall we? He said, let me tell you something. I say this unto you. You seek me not because you saw the miracles, because you did eat the loaves and were filled. You're seeking me for the wrong reason. You didn't recognize the creative power that was the Messiah there. You just wanted to have your bellies filled. You just want to have a nice church and be comfortable. He didn't cut him slack at all. He just kept calling them out. They want to be religious. He kept calling out, but your religion is wrong. Yeah, but we want to serve you this way, but it's wrong. Yeah, but we just want, but you're still wrong. Message believers would not like him preaching today. How do you know? Because there's 20 people in here instead of 100. They still don't like it. Look how the people react. Verse 28. Then say they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you follow all the message rules, wear your hair long enough, make sure you dress right, make sure you pay your tithe. Make sure you read your Bible 20 minutes a day and pray at least 15. It's not what he said, is it? That's message, 2017 message version. Make sure you listen to the prophet's tapes and don't listen to other preachers. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. That is all it requires if you want to go in the rapture. Believe the word of God when it comes to you. I know it's too simple, but there's got to be something I can do, Brother Phil. Yes, there is. There sure is. You can either believe what he sent, whom he sends, and then I'm just be honest, right now it's Phil Bontrager. He has sent me with his word. I don't like that any more than you do, but that's the stark reality. Well, if it was Brother Branham up there speaking, I'd accept it. You hypocrite. You claiming to believe the message of the hour, and you don't recognize the voice of God when it's speaking just because it's in this vessel instead of another vessel? Believe on him whom he has sent. They said unto him, therefore, well, okay, Brother Phil, you want us to believe what you're saying? They said, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Now, I can see if you would want to do that to me. But he had just multiplied the bread and fishes. He had just done miracles in front of them. And yet they say, well, okay, well, show us something they're believing on you then. And we shake our head and say, how could they be so carnal? Let me ask you, how can you be so carnal when you see what God is doing in this church? When you see what God has done to change people's lives in this church, and you sit there and be carnal, well, Brother Phil, show us the miracles then so we can believe what you're saying. People haven't changed. They still react to the voice of God, the ministry of Jesus Christ, just like they did back then. Because here's the reality. If I would say, let the great pillar of fire come and stand right here, and all of a sudden the pillar of fire is right there, you know what you would do? Oh, it's true. He's right. He's real. Oh, forgive me. Because that's the kind of religion you want. Where it doesn't take faith. It don't take faith that the pillar of fire appears right there. Of course it's easy to believe then. It's not what he's doing today. He said, I've given you the pure word. I want you to believe that and take a rapture with that. But we want our own religion, so we don't accept it that way. They said, our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now look at that. He had just multiplied the fish and the bread and given them all, but they said, well, not, what sign do you show us? Because our fathers ate bread from heaven. All you did was took bread that was on earth and multiplied it, and we ate that, but it didn't come from heaven. You're not as great as our fathers. You look at them and say, ignorant, don't you? Well, Brother Branham did this in his ministry, and Brother Branham did that in his ministry. What can you do better than that? The word He was a prophet. I'm not a prophet. I'm just a plain old person like you. All I have is a gift to preach. And God has taken that gift and saying, if you will take this message that the prophet gave, it will put you in the rapture. If you will just do what he says instead of trying to manufacture your own belief, your own righteousness, your own holiness, your own message, your own God. You have a God of our own idea. In our mind, we have fashioned a God. David was saying, he says that learned behavior. We have learned this is who God is. This is the way he preaches. This is the way he runs a church. And we cling to that because it's so comforting. It's like Satan gave it to us to begin with because it's such a comfort. He said, that's not me. Verse 32, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, giveth life unto the world. They said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. What? You're the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let me tell you something, brother and sister. If you are hungering this morning and thirsting, there is a satisfaction that until you have it, you can't even imagine what it's like. You think you know. You think you know what it's going to be like. But brother and sister, the baptism of the Holy Ghost itself doesn't even let you know what it's like to have that something inside that is so satisfied. It's so peaceful. There's such a rock. It's such a joy. It's something there that you recognize. There is something that holds me. There is something that's keeping me. It's not me out there trying to this and trying to live good enough and trying to overcome this and trying to do good. There's something inside. You will not thirst for the world anymore. Oh, your old flesh will. And you recognize right away that's just that old nasty flesh. And he gives you power to overcome that thing. Let me stop for a second. Do you really care about eternal life? Those of you who may not be born again, I don't know who's born again, who's not in here. I don't. I'm not going to pretend. I'm going to say, well, Brother Gene is, Brother Paul's not, Brother Susie, I'm not sure. That's ridiculous. But if you really care, do you really care about eternal life? Because here's the thing. If you still have an excuse, if you have an excuse why you're not born again, you don't really care that much. You say, well, Brother Phil, I don't know about that. Do you have options? Do you have other options besides being a Christian? Do you have another option? Well, if I can't be born again, I go do this. You don't care about eternal life. See, when you care about eternal life, you have only one option. That is, I am either going to be a Christian or I have nothing to live for. I'm not going to try. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm going to get born again or nothing. Nothing else is going to be enough. Well, I just can't do it. I guess I'll just go back to the world. You don't care about life. You don't. You know what's wrong? You haven't got to a point yet where you're miserable enough. Because when you get to a point where you are miserable enough that God brings you to that point, then you're going to say, God, I got to have you no matter what it takes, how humiliated I have to be, I am going to be born again because you said I could. And you quit trying and you just sat there on that promise until he does the work. Now, here's what some people think. Well, if I get miserable enough, God will feel sorry for me and give me the new birth. That is not what I said. He is not feeling sorry for you. We sit around. That was my dad's way of doing things. I love my dad. Let me tell you why. He thought as Christian had to be all down and be down. And you just kind of walk real humble like and just not very happy because you had to show that you're a Christian. What a hypocrite. Brother Bram said, God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be full of joy. He wants people to see your life and say, my goodness, Sister Jackson, how do you be so happy all the time? Why don't you? You got all kinds of problems going on in your life. Your husband can't even hardly walk. He's been hurt so much, and you're all joyful. What's wrong with you? And look at you. You can't even hardly walk, but you come 1,000 miles to go to church and sit there in pain. You're out of your mind or something? What's wrong with you people? Why are you so happy? Why do you have peace in the midst of trial? Why do you just keep us this sane attitude? Why are you not all insane? Why are you not crazy like the rest of us? Well, they think you are crazy. They think they're sane. If you have other options, go do them. God is not going to give you because you feel, I feel so bad, God. I'm so miserable. You poor thing. I'm gonna give you the Holy Ghost now because I feel so sorry for you. You don't do that. You know how I know? I tried that for years. Yes, sir. Learn behavior, buddy. That's how I was raised. One day God said, look at you miserable idiot. What do you think that I'm going to have? What kind of a God do you think I am? I am going to save you when you start believing me, when you're ready to give up. Now, let me tell you what. He'll bring you to a place where you're ready to give it up. He will bring you to a place of misery and that you say, I got to believe because this just can't go on. But see, it's when you believe is when he acts on it, not because you feel sorry for you. If you have options, go get them. Go do them. You don't care enough yet. Verse 36, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. You're not believers. That's what he was saying. You're not believers. You claim to believe the prophet. You're not believers because you have seen me and you don't believe. You've heard the voice of God, but you haven't accepted it. You're not a believer. Verse 41, skipping down. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Is this not Phil? Is this not Jerry? Is this not just guys who are among us and we see their faults, we see the mistakes they make and all this stuff going on, and yet we say, well, you got to listen to what we say. And they murmured against what he was preaching. And they got together and they had dinner and they say, I don't know about what Brother Phil preached. I'm not sure he has to preach it that way. I'm not sure that's really the way God would speak. I don't think that's the way. I have never heard preaching like that before. I'm not sure this is really what we need. He's going to drive people from the church and no one's comfortable coming to the church anymore. Murmuring. I'm going to let that sit for a minute. Who does he think he is preaching at us like that? That's just Brother Phil. I know the things Brother Phil has done. He ain't no angel, I'll tell you that. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 48, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Our fathers did follow the prophet and are dead. Our fathers were message believers and are dead. I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them are. Just look what they did with the message. Look what has happened with the message in the last 50 years. Don't tell me they're not dead. Going out there preaching all this crazy stuff, separating to this camp and that camp and all the stuff people have done. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I give you is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They strove. There is strife among them. They are getting upset. They weren't just murmuring anymore. They are getting upset. How are we supposed to eat this guy? And Jesus said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath the eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day. My flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Jesus didn't back off. He didn't explain it. He just poured it on all that much more. He lit the fire. They got upset. He said, here's some more fuel for your fire. Burn. Tear it up. He didn't explain it. The question was, do you believe who he is? Then if you believe who he is and you hear his voice speaking, even though you don't understand it, you believe it anyways because you know who he is. You recognize the voice of God. Verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? This preaching is too hard. You're embarrassing me. I don't like the way you preach. This is uncomfortable. Jesus saying, I'm chasing you because I love you. I'm chasing you because I love you. I want to save you, but you got to come my way. When Jesus knew that in himself, his disciples murmured, he said unto them, does this offend you? Does my preaching offend you? I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. Let me be nicer to you. You know those people who sit there and do nothing but listen to Brother Branham's tapes and he just tears up the Pentecost? I was listening this morning, preaching on Samson. He's just, at the beginning of the message, he says, you know, we're all brothers. We have Christ in common. We can come together like this, this camp meeting, and just have a wonderful time. You know, it was Pentecostal camp meeting in Arkansas. And by the end of that, he was chewing them up and spitting them out. You Pentecostal, you've gone back to mother whore. You message believer, you've gone back to mother whore. But you know what people do when they're sitting there listening to that? They're sitting in their church pew listening to the prophet preaching. They don't have a real pastor. He said, man, he sure tore those Pentecostals up. Glad I'm a message believer. Fools and slow of heart to believe what he's saying. He wasn't preaching to those Pentecostals. He was preaching to us. That message was for us. Pentecost rejected it. We're supposed to be the ones who accepted it. And we've gone back to the mother whore worse than they did. You know why? Because you do it as an individual now. Because we have learned that we don't have a headquarters. We don't have one church, one headquarters telling us what to believe and what not to believe. You can sit there and believe what you want. How many thousands of message believers have gone back to mother whore right up here in their own mind because they've taken the message and made their own denomination? This is the way I believe it. And God's coming here and he's giving you the word to chase and you say, stop that! Listen to my word. I am still speaking. The only way that you will not go back to mother whore if you continue to hear the voice of God, continue to keep you out of that mess. You're not spiritual enough. You're not smart enough to do that on our own. It takes the voice of God to keep you on the straight and narrow, folks. You will be deceived if you don't listen. He said, did this offend you? Well, what if I tell you something makes it worse? He said, what? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? So he knew that they were tore up. And he didn't go and say, well, let me say something to make you feel better. He just took, oh, you're on fire. Let me throw some gasoline. Whoosh. If that didn't offend you enough, this will. That's the ministry of Jesus Christ. And you want to try to influence me to preach nice to you. What spirit is that? You want Brother Jerry to preach nice to you. What spirit is that? Instead of accepting the chastening, you want to say, stop chastening us, preacher. This is hard to take. This makes me uncomfortable. I like my lukewarm religion. Leave me alone. It is a spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Boy, if we got that, we sure come a long ways. It's about the spirit. The spirit, the word comes, the spirit quickeneth. It's not the flesh. This flesh is not profiting. This flesh is not profiting. It doesn't feel good. The flesh doesn't like it. The flesh doesn't like to preach this way, folks. The flesh doesn't like to sit there and hear this kind of preaching. Don't bother me none. You just be honest. The Holy Spirit feeds on the word. It says amen to every word. Even when this flesh is saying, oh, I hate that. Yet the inside, if you're born again, this is so exciting. If you're born again, even though it's tearing you up, something says yes, but that's still the truth. Amen. Humiliate me if you have to, but goodness sakes, keep preaching that. Because that's going to put me in the rapture. And nothing else matters. But there are some of you that believe not. Jesus stood there and said, some of you are unbelievers. Verse 65, he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it was given unto him of my Father. Oh, so now you say predestination is in effect. Yeah. Verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And they turned and walked out of the church. His church walked away. He said, we're not going to listen to this kind of preaching. We don't have to listen to this kind of preaching. I'm not going to come to church if you're going to preach like that, Brother Phil. People don't change, folks. And Jesus got tore up and said, oh my goodness, I'm going to lose my church. So he turned to the 12 disciples and said, guys, please don't leave me too. Jesus said unto the 12, will you all also go away? Y'all want to go too? Because I'm going to stand here on the word that the Father gave me to speak, no matter how people react to it. You want to go too? Peter said, Lord, to whom will we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Good answer. And Jesus was, my goodness, thank you. No, he wasn't. He wasn't going by their opinion. He didn't care about their opinion. He said, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? In other words, he was saying, now Peter was like, hey, you know, Jesus, we believe you. We're going to stick with you through thick and thin. And Jesus said, well, I chose you to begin with. Don't get all uppity. Don't think you've done anything here. I chose you, and you know what? I chose one of you, and one of you is a devil. Now, what if Jesus came in here this morning and said, now, I've chosen all you, but one of you is a devil. How many would go through the next week just tore up knowing he was talking about you? I knew I was a Judas. Goodness sakes, I knew it. He had to say, is it me? Oh, God, I wonder if I'm Judas or not. Don't you think you should find out? Why go through the torment of letting Satan torture you with that? You're Judas. You're Judas. You might be a Judas. You can know for sure that you aren't. You can know for sure you're not a Judas. Judas sticks to the very end. I believe there'd be Judases in the congregations all the way to the rapture until they show their colors, whenever that happens. That don't mean we have to have any here. Let Judas sit in someone else's congregation. We don't need any Judas in here. We're too small. We'll send in Brother Donnie. That was mean, wasn't it? But here's the thing about being a Judas or not. If you don't want to be a Judas, you don't have to be. You choose. You choose. Oh my goodness, I'm running way out of time. Chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he could not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Well, you say, well, Brother Phil, that's different. No one's trying to kill you. Goodness, I wish you would have said that. You know that's not true. Oh, yeah, they don't kill anymore. So far, they don't kill physically. but they sure do spiritually. Brother Branham said, when you kill a person's influence, you much as kill them. And you said that, so well, I don't like the way Brother Phil preached this, and he preached that and that. And someone's sitting there, and they're being influenced by what you're saying, especially young people. And they're trying to serve God, and they're trying to go on with God, but they sit there in this doubt. Whoever says this, and that person says this, I have a lot of respect for them. And they're saying Brother Phil shouldn't preach that way, and it's influencing them. And so when they come to church, they have that much a harder time accepting what's being preached because someone killed me. I've heard plenty of people assassinate Brother Jerry over the years. All it takes is a bad attitude. Well, what's Brother Jerry doing? Why is he doing this? You're assassinating him. What disrespect to God. There's a feast. Feast of Tabernacles was at hand, verse 3, chapter 7, verse 3. His brethren said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world, for neither did his brethren believe in him. So what he's saying, he said, well, listen, if you think you're so much, if you think you got the word of God, why don't you go out there and tell the whole world what you got? Why don't you go show the whole world? Why don't you go stand up and make something of yourself? They didn't believe him either. Jesus said, my time has not yet come. Your time is already ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hateth me. Wouldn't that be a horrible thing to have Jesus speak to you and said, the world can't hate you? Why? Because it loves its own. But it hateth me because I testify it that the works thereof are evil. You recognize he's talking about the holy people here. He's not talking about the fornicators and drunks and all those, the thieves and all that kind of stuff. He's talking about the holy people. He's talking to believers. He said, go ye up into this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet come. When he had said these words, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brothers were gone up, then he went up into the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Jesus snuck into the feast. He camouflaged himself. He did something so you wouldn't recognize him, and he went to the feast secretly. Boy, he still does that, doesn't he? We can have a big church service, and everyone's praising God and anointed and everything, and Jesus sneaks in there because he's not welcome anyways. He needs to deal with someone. He needs to call out someone. He sits down right down beside someone. He starts speaking to that person through the ministry. And everyone else is saying, Where is he at? There he is, right there in the feast. He's right there doing that this morning, folks. The Jews saw him at the feast, said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others, no, but he deceives the people. Same thing has happened. Well, I believe this is the church I'm supposed to go to, and I believe a lot of times what this preach, but sometimes they just get too hard. So God's making a mistake then. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, How know what this man letters, having never learned? See, they're still looking. They're still having problems with him. Well, he don't have an education. Well, who said he was a preacher? Well, all these things that they do. Verse 19, did not Moses give you the law and none of you keep the law? Why go you about to kill me? Listen to what he's saying. Brother Branham gave us the message, but you don't keep the message and you kill the ministry God sends. The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goes about to kill thee? They got to open resistance by this time. Brother Phil, no one's saying anything bad about you. No one's saying anything bad about your ministry. No one's having a problem with what you preach. Oh, well, then, I have a lying spirit on me. A lying spirit gave me this to preach. If that's the case, you need to flee from here till Brother Jerry gets back and tell him, Brother Phil's up there lying in the pulpit, and you need to get rid of him. God has amazing ways of letting the minister know what's going on. Remember he said, what's spoken in secret will be proclaimed from the mountaintop. He knows what you're saying. He knows when there's resistance. Verse 25, then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Let me tell you what happens. We come to church, and sometimes we have bad attitudes, and sometimes we've gone the whole week, and we've resisted whatever. But we come to church, and under the anointing, nobody dares say a word because you know you get called out. It's true. And I sit here and I watch the countenance change on your faces as the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. And no one says a word. And yet you say, well, why are you, you know, people say, why are they sitting here? They said this about Brother Phil's ministry. They said that about Brother Jerry's ministry. And here they are. Why don't they do something? Why don't they stand up right now and call them out? That's what they were saying. They have not changed. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Do you know indeed that this is really the voice of God speaking? Then why don't they accept it? Verse 30, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. There's many times through here, I'm skipping most of them. They said they would have took him, but his hour was not yet. His hour was not yet. That's what, brother and sister, why I can stand up here and I'm fearless, because as long as God's put me here, my hour has not yet come. And when my hour has come, I don't want to be here a second longer than I have to be. I want to go home. That's why I'm preaching this way. I want to go home. And there's some of you who need to be born again. We want to get you born again so we can go home. I'm very selfish about this. It's about me going home. My hour has not yet come. And when it does, that's why there's no fear. You don't have to walk around worrying about stuff, folks. Paul said, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about stuff. Well, what if this bad thing happens? What if that bad thing? Okay. When your hour has come, it's going to come. Your worry won't stop a single thing from happening. And many of those people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than this? These which this man hath done, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. They got worried. Oh my goodness, people are starting to believe him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to arrest him. Come and arrest him. Get this guy out of here. Verse 35, then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go? He said, I'm going to leave you. You can't come. He said, we shall not find him. We'll go into the dispersal of the Gentiles, teach the Gentiles. What manner of saying is that? He said, you shall seek me, shall not find me. And whither I am, thither you cannot come. He kept speaking in riddles. They did not understand it. And they couldn't keep going because if they couldn't understand it in their mind, they just couldn't accept it. Verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they heard these sayings, said, of a truth, this is a prophet. Others said, this is a Christ. And some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? They're still trying to figure it out. Has not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there is a division among the people because of him. That hasn't changed. Division among the people. And here's how it works. Brother Branham said, he's talking to the Branham Tabernacle. He said, you're in a nice, friendly, wonderful bunch. But he said, don't think it's going to stay this way. Satan's going to send people in here. And they'll sit with you. And they'll worship under that atmosphere. And then they'll start through the congregation with something to divide the congregation. He said, don't you take sides. Don't you get political. You stand with Christ. He said, you love them anyways. He said, they'll either get right or they'll leave. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees. They said unto him, why have you not brought him? See, these officers, they went to arrest Jesus. They heard him speak. And they went back to the Pharisees. And they said, well, where is he at? Why didn't you bring him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. We ain't never heard preaching like this before. I've been going to Message Church for 1,000 years. I've never heard anyone preach this way before. What's this all about? Why does it have to be this way? Why can't we just have preaching like other churches have? You can. There's plenty of them. Go find one. You don't have to go to this church. I think some people come here out of convenience. Keep coming. We need the lights. Bill's paid. You're a smart aleck, Phil. Where'd I get it from? Does this offend you? That's what the prophet said. Well, I think you should be nice to people. Where'd I get it from? You wouldn't have liked his preaching either. Why don't you just be honest with yourself? They had an argument among them, just to save time. At the end it says, and every man went unto his own house. They separated. He caused division in the church. He caused problems. I'm going to keep going. We got verse chapter 8 to go yet, and we're going to finish this. Chapter 8, verse 5. Now Moses and the law commanded us that this should be stoned. What says that they had brought this woman who caught in adultery? They said, should be stoned. They said this, tempting him that they might accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. He ignored their drama. He ignored their drama. He didn't get up and start arguing and fussing with it. He just like, whatever. But they just wouldn't let it go, so they continued asking him. He lifted him up, finally said, he that's without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. He knelt back down and continued to write on the ground. Well, we need to have a meeting, Brother Phil. We need to talk about this. We need to get together and come up to some kind of agreement. Go ahead. Do it on your own time. Verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. You're up there talking, Brother Phil, but you're just saying this about yourself. How are we supposed to know what you believe? Where's your proof? Jesus said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell when I came and whither I go. I know why I'm up here. I know where I came from, because one day God revealed to me who my Father was. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. Verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour is not yet come. Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? He says, whither I go, you cannot come. He said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. How much more clear can it get? He says it over and over. You don't believe I'm here, you will die in your sins. That's how he speaks to believers. Then said they unto them, who art thou? Ain't that amazing? Jesus said unto them, even the same I said unto you from the beginning. I told you who I am. Well, who are you? Well, where's your proof? Why? Because it would not line up with their idea of who the Messiah was supposed to be. They had their own thought, their own religion, and he was not fulfilling their ideas. That's not the kind of ministry we want. Verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him. He is speaking to the believers. They are the message believers of the day. He's speaking to believers. He said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. How many people come to the message and they go with God for a while and they get discouraged and they leave?
How many people around Dixon County are claiming to be message believers, but they waited a while and then they walked out and they left? He said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, never were in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now listen to them. Here they are in bondage to the Romans, naturally, saying, we've never been in bondage to anybody. What do you think? We should be made free. Because they're still thinking naturally, and still they're flat out lying. They knew they're in bondage to the Romans. You shall be made free. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know you're Abraham's seed, naturally, but ye seek to kill me because what? He's talking to the believers. He said, ye seek to kill me. Because my word hath no place in you. What I'm saying, you're resisting, you're rejecting it, you're not accepting it, you're seeking to kill me, because if you don't accept it, you're seeking to kill the Word of God. Crucifying him afresh, putting him to an open shame, message believers. I speak that which I've seen with my Father, you do that which you have seen with your Father. Whew. He just said, your Father is the devil, is what he just told him. Hang on, he's going to be very more plain than that. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. Have I lied to you? Has Brother Jerry lied to you? When he's tearing our hide, is it lies? Then why do you seek to kill us? I'm so glad that I'm preaching to believers who accept this word. You seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard from God. You maybe have to take your word for it, but I believe that I hear from God before I come up and preach. If I didn't, I'd be a fool to come up and just say my own idea. You think I put this together on my own? You think I would come up here and say these things to tear you up? You're my friends. Would I do this on my own? Would I say things to hurt your feelings, to make funny feelings between us and all this stuff going on, and you have to kind of like get over that, and we're going to stand out in the parking lot, hopefully in fellowship and talk, and you think I'm going to say things that will tear you up? What do you think, I am stupid? I tell you the truth which I have heard from God. Said, this denied Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my words. If you don't have ears to hear, you can't hear the voice of God anyways. Verse 44, he's speaking to message believers. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. When is a message believer, preacher going to get up and preach that? No, they believe Jesus Christ is not the same yesterday, today, and they believe his ministry has changed, and now you only say nice things and positive things to make people feel good. They're leading they're binding them for the burning. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not, because you don't like the truth. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. That's Jesus Christ speaking to message believers. It's no wonder there are only 20 people here. Then answered the Jews, saying unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, hast a devil? Right in his face, you're of a devil. Jesus, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father. You dishonor me. Verily I say unto you, if a man keepeth my words, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead. The prophets and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? 2017 version of it. We have Brother Brandon for our prophet, and we listen to the prophet, and we don't need to listen to you. Who do you think you are? Can you preach any good of Brother Brandon? Can you do the things Brother Brandon did? Who do you think you are, Brother Phil? That's what they're saying today. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. And if I'm up here just bolstering myself, just saying, you need to hear Phil, then I am a liar, I am nothing. He said, it is my Father that honors me, of whom you say he is your God. Let me tell you what, brother and sister, God backs up the ministry in this church. God backs up what I'm saying. God backs up what Brother Jerry says. He is the one who's honoring what's being said. It ain't me. If he stops doing that, I need to sit down and be quiet. God isn't honoring it, if God ends up bringing this to pass, if God isn't proving this to be true, then I need to shut up. I'm not honoring myself. He said, yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I just say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. This is Jesus Christ, loving Jesus Christ, sweet Jesus. This is what he said. He said, if I said what you did, I'd be a liar like you are. But I know him and I keep his saying. Brother and sister, I know Jesus Christ. And I'm speaking what he once said this morning. And yes, I knew all week I was going to preach this sermon. And I knew it was going to go this way. You know why? He said, I'm going to trust you with this. You go and keep making me proud. You do what I ask you to do. They all turn and walk out. You finish this message. They're responsible for it, not you. But if you don't say it, we're going to have time in the woodshed. I'd rather have you all hating me than him. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, wow. Wow, what a statement. What a statement. We have Brother Branham. Before Brother Branham was, this was true. Before Brother Branham was, this was still the message. Brother Branham just brought it. This wasn't Brother Branham's message. This is a message of Jesus Christ. Oh, then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, so passed by. Why? His time had not yet come. When his time came, he did all he could to try and get away from it. But he said, you know what? I was called for this purpose. Let's get this over with. Judas, go do what you have to do, but do it quickly. Get this done. That's the message of Jesus Christ. That's the ministry of Jesus Christ. And we like to claim that he's the same yesterday and today and forever. But when he tries to preach the same way, we get all resistant to it. Why? Because your old flesh don't want it. Your flesh wants to be comfortable. He said, if you just stay comfortable in your church pew, you're never going to go in the rapture. You're still trying to try to be a message believer. You're trying to be born again. You're never going to make it. He said, believe on him whom I have sent. Receive the word. Believe the word. Accept it. Claim it as your own. It's that simple. Hardest thing in the world to do, but it's simple. Now, some of you may be chasing today, some of you maybe weren't. I don't know. But to me, that is so comforting. You say, well, Phil, you're up there saying it. You're the one who's preaching it. And we're friends, right? We're still friends. I get to live with having said this to you. This is chastening for everybody, folks. But let me tell you something. When I preach and it comes the way it does, and I think, why do I have to preach this way? Why does it have to be so hard? And he takes me back and says, what are you crying about? Look what I said. Look what they did to me. Look how they treated me. I preached this and they killed me for it. They crucified me for what I said. What are you crying about? Guess I'll quit crying. Guess we'll go on. Amen? God bless you. Let's stand. I can't tell you how grateful I am that I'm preaching this and there's people here who accept the chastening of the Lord and they're going on and I know it's true. And they're growing and I can see them growing spiritually. I see more Christ. I see more love and attitudes and things that are just Christ-like. I see God being manifest in flesh because you're accepting the chastening. It is so amazing. People growing in Christ. I see some people resisting sometime, but you know what? We all resist sometime or other. We all do that. Just get over it and keep going. Just get over yourself. Because let me just, real quick, when the chastening comes, what is being hurt? Your flesh, your pride, your religion. All of those are idols that need to be destroyed. So recognize flesh profiteth nothing. It's the Spirit. Grow in the Spirit, folks. Go in the rapture. God bless you. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you would come again and speak to us, Lord, and get this message out and just to demonstrate the very ministry that you had when you walked here in flesh in that body, Lord, that was crucified. And now that same ministry is still here. It never left. It's still here. It's still speaking. It's still having the same effect. And people are responding the same way. And it's a chastening. You chasten the believers, Lord, because what good does it do to chasten unbelievers? But it's the believers who chasten, Lord, and we want to have the zeal to cry out, I'm wrong, and repent and change the way we go, change the way we act, Lord Jesus, and let you have your way. So come, Lord, and let this word manifest through our lives. We ask this in your name. Amen. God bless you. One thing, I'm trying to quit. He doesn't chasten unbelievers. What's the point? It's believers he chastens. Recognize who you are. If he chastened you, he's trying to tell you, I love you, you're mine. Come and start singing so I can preach. I love you.